From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar-Shaddaa to the brightest light that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Everyone, welcome to episode 13 of Flashpoint. As always, I've got the brilliant Ed here. How are you going, Ed?
Oh, I'm having a blast. But this may be a problem, David.
Why is that?
We may have a problem. 13. Do we really want to have a 13 running around? I mean, it's a really unlucky number, and you know, people might get nervous. You know, they click on the thing and bad things happen.
It's been unlucky, you know? So far, because I was hoping to have our new co-host on with us tonight, but that person, he or she, look, it won't be that mysterious, it's he has disappeared off the face of the earth. So he will be introduced next week. But you're right, so it's unlucky already, so hopefully one of us doesn't fall off our chair and impale our butt on a spike or something like that.
Well, I hope he wasn't captured by the Empire. That would be bad.
Well, actually, that's another hint. He is part of the Empire, so...
Well, it's not like they treat their people any better than they treat the Republic.
This is true. So anyway, more on that next week, folks. So let's launch straight into the news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
Okay, so since we caught up a fortnight ago, there's been two updates from BioWare. So I'll go back as usual to the one 2 weeks ago, which was the, 1 week ago, which was the Essel's walkthrough, which, for those not in the know, is a level 9 flashpoint. Ed, what were your thoughts after you had a look through the walkthrough?
I liked it.
Or walked through the look-through, or whatever you want to call it.
After I watched the walkthrough video, how's that sound?
That's right. That's better.
Okay. The video itself was very well done. As a level 9, you're not going to be, you know, an uber god. You know, you're not going to be the utterly mighty, you know, Luke Skywalker-esque Jedi Knight or Boba Fett-esque bounty hunter or whatever. You've just pretty much begun your journey. You've got some decent gear. You know how to play, you hope, by level 9.
Oh, I won't have known how to play by then, but yeah, you're right on the whole.
You probably have done some group work. You know what your roles are. They did it. The group that was shown in that did a pretty good job in that. My only problem with it was the choice they made in the middle of it. And it's a personal thing. It's a personal preference. I understand why they did what they did, and it's actually realistic. But oh my god. Ugh.
So which bit are you talking about exactly?
Where they have to get to the bridge to fight the boss guy. A guy Mandalorian named Iron Fist. And to get to the bridge, they have to deactivate the lockdown. To do that, they have two choices. They can run around and deactivate the lockdown from a series of security consoles scattered about the area, or they can vent the reactor and open the engineering compartment to space. And there are three crew in the engineering compartment.
Yep.
Who are alive. they chose the path, the speedy path, the dark side path, of course. They blew the engineering crew into space. I am a historian by trade. I'm a World War II historian, actually. So I understand that in times of conflict, you know, personal preferences or religious reasons or whatever, it don't really matter. If you have to choose between saving three people and saving a ship full of people, you will choose the ship full of people. You'll probably not feel very good about yourself afterwards. That struck me. That really did. And I have to say, well done, BioWare. Well done. That was the kind of choice you expect from them. Something that on the surface is, you know, it's cut and dry, black and white. You have these two choices, you know, go one way, go the other way, simple. You know, go one way and you get light side points, go the other way, it's dark side points. Wait a minute. You know, do you choose to save the ship or do you choose to save the ship and the three guys that are in the, that are trapped behind the force field? It'll take you longer and it may be harder to save the three guys that are trapped behind the force field. Do you have the time?
And what I'm hoping with that, though, is that they'll eventually build in extra awards or whatever for taking the harder route.
That would be really cool. They've already said that there are going to be rewards if you get to a certain level of light side or a certain level of dark side. You'll open up different abilities in your class. But I don't know. We'll see. That was that decision. That thing hit me very hard, though. That hit me as hard as some other choices that you've had to make in BioWare games. So I'm like, I think this is going to work. I do think this is going to work. I don't know.
I think you're getting too emotionally involved in these decisions, because what you don't see in that walkthrough is the fact that once those three guys go out into space, there just happens to be a spaceship using an improbability drive that picks them up and they don't even lose a breath. So, and for those not in the know,
22.
Yeah, it's obviously a Hitchhiker's Guide reference for those that are unaware.
There is something fundamentally wrong with the universe, but... crazy, David. That's why
That's right. The Essel's walkthrough, look, it was good for level 9. Some people would criticize it for being a bit basic. I thought it was good. It's a lower level flashpoint. You can't expect too much, complexity at that stuff. And I'm fascinated whether Iron Fist was trademarked, being a Marvel comic character. I wonder if that had to go through any. I assume they're just two words that aren't trademarked.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, the one in Star Wars The Old Republic certainly didn't have a yellow mask on with a green Lycra suit, thankfully. So, Essel's walkthrough. The other thing I thought during the week, I was going to make some really silly pun about how I did the Essel's run in less than 12 parsecs, but I thought that'd be really obvious.
But parsecs are a distance of measurement, or a distance of distance. They're a measurement of distance, not time.
Yeah, that's right. So that makes it even lamer if I'd brought it up as humor, so I'm glad I didn't mention it. And obviously, I am aware it was the Kessel run, not the Essel's run. It was just a pun, folks.
No, you don't know any of this, David.
Don't try to
don't try to confuse people.
That's
true. We know that you don't know any of this.
I don't know much, that's for sure. But that's one of the few things I do know, because it comes from the movies. All right. Yeah. So this week was the Consular update. So it came out about 12 hours ago. So a little bit of information, and then a fairly short 2 minute and 5 second, I think it was, video showing the Consular. I'll give my little vibe first. I think I've mentioned before that that's probably the character that I'm likely to roll. And from seeing the video, I can see why I've thought I would do that. It reminds me so much, and a lot of people get up in arms about this, it does remind me so much of my mage in World of Warcraft. Similar capability, although the Consular has some healing abilities, which is really cool. So it's just a really good DPS healer build. I liked it. The video was cool. Would have liked it to have been longer, but it gives you an idea of what's out there. Ed, what did you think?
Well, it's about the same length as any of the other videos.
No, but because it's the one I'm rolling, it needs to be longer.
Oh, okay, yeah. I wanted the Trooper video to be 10 minutes long, but...
And I mean, what was shocking to me that was so short is because BioWare have a long history of doing absolutely everything I say, and this is the first time they've let me down.
Is that so?
Sorry, sarcasm done. Yeah.
One of the interesting things that I wanted to get your opinion on, since you want to roll a Consular, one of the abilities that they've shown just about everywhere that you've seen them played is called Project, which is, you know, you rip something out of the ground and you throw it at an enemy. Now, apparently, it doesn't do damage. It's crowd control or a single target knockback or stun of some kind. So they're not... Nobody is actually complaining about the ability itself. People are complaining about the animation.
Yeah.
That, you know, you rip the side out of a piece out of a starship, what happens? Yeah. Oh, we just ripped the life support system out of this starship. We're all going to die.
Yeah, look, it's the one thing about the Consular that I actually nearly hate. I hate the animation. I just hate the whole concept of it. It doesn't appeal to me. I think it makes it look cheap and tacky. I just don't see a lot of benefit. I understand each class has to have a bunch of abilities, and this is one they've chosen. But yeah, I tend to agree with the criticism. That said, having not got my hands on the game, I think it might be one of those abilities, once you actually use it and play it, that you might grow to like.
Well, I've seen a bunch of, there have been like, you know, 15 or 20 threads on the forums about Project, just about Project. Everybody likes most of the other abilities, which is kind of surprising, but they can't stand the animation for Project. So there have been various ideas about it. They want either, you know, you're pulling things up and when you throw them, they're not the same thing every time. You know, if you're in the middle of a desert, you're not pulling up an engine component. Or if you're on a starship, you're not pulling up a boulder.
Yeah, I agree. And it's what I didn't like from the first couple of Consular videos that I saw, or where they appeared in videos, was, yeah, you had what looked like, you know, a 747 engine coming out of the bare ground in the middle of nowhere. It's just dumb.
Well, one of the other things that people have been giving some interesting ideas, and I don't know whether they would work or not, but they're quite interesting. One of them is, in Empire Strikes Back, where Luke is fighting Vader, after Luke has been blown out the window and he faces Vader for the second time, you know, Vader is standing there. He's just standing there, and he's got his saber ready, and Luke gets ready, and then something breaks off the wall and flies at him, but from behind. And Luke manages to block that one, but then Vader just starts throwing all kinds of things from multiple directions. Luke never knows where the next attack is going to come from, whether it's going to come from Vader and his lightsaber, or from a piece of junk, or whatever. I don't know if it would be possible to change that animation to show things, you know, coming up from behind an enemy and striking them from behind. But that would surprise the hell out of just about anybody I could think of.
Yeah, it's a good idea and it's an improvement on what's currently there, but then I'd argue having Consulars outfitted with a pair of tennis underwear and with a bunch of tennis balls that they can force throw at their enemies would be more realistic than what the current animation is.
True.
But overall, it's, you know, the Consular update's good. It's, I'm still going to roll one. It looks good. It's, I love some of the other abilities and how they look and animate. It's just, I suppose every class has a weakness and this one stands out there because it's stuff coming out of the ground.
You know, what did you think of the nuke? The, you know, the force quake? You run up, you pull the thing and boom, the entire area. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, I love an effective AOE and that's definitely looking like one. So yeah, big fan of that. And then the third piece, and for a lot of our listeners, the most important piece of information over the last 2 weeks or non-information comes around pre-orders. So when we recorded 2 weeks ago, it was just at the time where there was lots of uncertainty. The pre-orders had been announced about 48 hours before. It had become apparent that more than half the world weren't going to be able to access local ordering of the game. And there was still uncertainty on whether, even if you ordered it from someone like Amazon, whether you'd be able to get access to the game, let alone the early access. Since that time, there's been some clarification, although it's been very grey still, in that, yes, anyone that orders the game from anywhere in the world will get the early access and be able to access the game. So they're not going to IP block geographically. So that's a good thing. So if you're keen enough and you can find a pre-order copy from anywhere, then order it and you'll be fine. But it was like pulling teeth to even get that confirmation. To be fair to the guys at Comic-Con, they're in the middle of a bunch of other stuff. So I understand that, you know, it wasn't the highest priority for them. Alison Berryman on the forums, one of the other senior community coordinators, is the one that actually provided a bit of sanity to what was an enormous... Well, there were... I've lost track of the number of threads, but it was in the tens of thousands of posts protesting about it.
Well, we've had like 16 threads at between 1,000 and 3,000 posts per thread.
Yeah. So I'm not going to regurgitate last fortnight's podcast. I personally thought it was handled really, really badly. I still don't think anyone sat down and provided a really good, okay, we understand the frustration here, but that's life. I mean, I know Stephen Reed said, look, we needed a good launch and we needed to limit it. Well, that doesn't alleviate the concerns. All that does is say we chose to discriminate geographically rather than, you know, have a lottery or whatever it is. And I know I go on about the lottery. So he's done a bit, but I'll say what I said last fortnight. I just don't honestly believe to a large extent they really care. And I know they care about having a great launch, and that's great. But, you know, half the world's missed out. I would have thought there would have been a better way to do it.
I need to clarify here, David. BioWare cares. EA does not.
I agree, but I'm going to argue to some extent.
BioWare the problem... Oh, sorry, didn't mean to cut you.
No, that's okay.
The problem is that BioWare has you know, gone to EA for this. I mean, EA is a big game publisher. They're acting like a big game publisher. They're not going to talk about things like this. They don't care. It's not, the game is going to sell no matter how much angst people put out there. I don't know how to put this. The people who are really running the show right now, at least the PR side, the marketing side, are LucasArts and Electronic Arts. I mean, LucasArts and EA, they're big game company. They're big corporations. Their bottom line is money, period. They don't care what the customers think, as long as the customers buy their stuff. And people are going to buy this. No matter how angry we get, no matter how upset people get, people are going to buy this game. So EA really couldn't care less.
No, you're right. I agree totally. And the game, I mean, pre-orders haven't sold out, but I think they're getting damn close. So, and, you know, have done sales calls saying that, you know, it's exceeded their expectation, all the usual PR fluff. So, no, look, I agree. EA are the driver. Without getting myself into too much trouble, though, I still would argue that BioWare could have handled this a hell of a lot better.
No question. They could have handled it better. EA is... I mean, the problem with dealing with a corporation is corporations have no soul. They don't, like I say, they don't care about anything except money. And if BioWare has given all of their, you know, all the PR and marketing stuff to EA, then EA has probably said, you can't say anything unless you clear it through us first. And I speak from experience when I say trying to get a response from a corporation is kind of like trying to pull teeth on a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. And you do raise a really good point that they probably do have to clear every single thing. And I know I get frustrated with BioWare, but that's one point worth mentioning. And as I've said before, without sounding like a suck up, that I know the BioWare guys, so Stephen Reed and David Bass and Allison, seem to be trying to do a really good job, and they're probably hamstrung in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I can see your point.
No. David, you don't suck up. That didn't come out right.
No, I think you're right there. So, yeah, anyway, that's where the pre-orders are up to. And so there's nothing new. If you're new to the podcast, basically you need to try and find a copy from overseas and hope that the lag's not too bad. And BioWare have been very upfront that they can't guarantee what your lag's going to be like. So let's wait and see. Well, now that we've wrapped up the pre-orders, I've just noticed that our new co-host has actually just logged on. So I'm going to bring it. Well, I've already brought him in. So I'd like to give a big welcome, and you've heard his dulcet tones only a fortnight ago. Big welcome to Mark. How are you going, Mark?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, dulcet tones. Yeah, very dulcet. Yep.
They are in my book better than bloody mine. Anyway. So Mark, as you know, was on last podcast and passed with flying colours, so we're really pleased to have him as a co-host and looking forward to lots of episodes ahead. So let's kick into Chewing the Fat. Chewing the Fat. Okay, so we've got a few things and we've had some great suggestions on the forums, and two of them, surprisingly or not surprisingly, have come from you, Ed. So let's cover yours first because you're a good forum buddy. The first one you mentioned was the over 40. So will Star Wars The Old Republic offer a lot or a differentiator to the over 40 gamers, which I fall into? What are your thoughts on it? I'm a bit encouraged as far as I think it's going to be less hardcore progression driven, you know, if you don't get to the end content, you're a loser sort of approach that really biases people that maybe can't put the time in that more young or driven people can.
Well, one of the interesting things, I don't know exactly where I read it. I've been looking for it recently and I can't find it, but I read an article a while back. May have even been on Tor Wars. I need to see if I can find it again. About a little boy, a 9-year-old boy, who's going on the web, and he's talking to his grandfather while he's going on the web, and his grandfather asks him what he's doing, and he's looking at the Tor website. So the kid, you know, explains what Star Wars The Old Republic is, and the grandfather looks at the kid and says, you know, people think that Star Wars is only for kids. I love those movies.
Now, I've got to intervene here, and you're going to get a big smack for this, Ed. We've covered this on a podcast about 5 episodes ago.
Did I?
Yes. No, you didn't. It's not your fault. I raised it because someone on the forums actually posted about that. So big smacks for you, but it's still a good point.
Well, so we covered. I'm sorry. But I've been talking with a bunch of my friends recently and family and other people, many of whom are over 40, many of whom enjoyed the original trilogy of Star Wars and couldn't really get into the prequels because they weren't the same. You know, better, worse, somewhere in between. They weren't the same. But the feel of Star Wars was there, and they really wanted to find something that was Star Wars. I talked with a buddy of mine who has never played computer games in his life, and he's like, a Star Wars MMO? You know, first of all, I had to explain what an MMO was. That took a little while.
Yeah.
And then he's like, that sounds really cool. I'm going to get into that.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that's going to be one of its key strengths once they roll it out beyond pre-orders. Mark, now, am I right? I believe you're the right side of 40 as far as you're not 40 yet.
I am 36.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you can't bloody comment anyway, but for what it's worth... Comment away.
I'm almost there. I'm almost at 40. I think the interesting thing about Star Wars is I can't really think of any other IP out there that covers such a broad range, you know. We've got the first movies that we had in our generation when we were young, and then you've got these new ones. So I think in this MMO, we're going to see a lot more older and younger players in the same guilds, playing together, things like that. Because, you know, WoW, okay, you do get the odd old player, some young players, obviously. But, yeah, this one, I think it's going to be more open.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there'll be a much better mix of generations because of the brand. I think you're exactly right. So that's why I think the story-driven approach will work really well for this. And, I mean, there's already, I think, there's a couple of older gamers' guilds. I think one of them are listed on our guild listing. So there's plenty of that already happening. So, yeah, I think it's going to be one of the best aspects for old farts like me.
Yeah, you're going to have two generations there. You're going to have the older generation that sees Darth Vader as this really dark, foreboding, all-powerful guy that you really don't want to mess with. And then the younger generation who see Darth Vader as a whiny teen.
I don't see Darth Vader as scary since I watched the Chad Vader series, which we've talked about before.
Oh, God!
But we've talked about that before.
Oh, don't bring up Chad Vader. No. Oh.
So, yeah, over 40s, if you're over 40, and I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you're over 40 and haven't played an MMO before, but if for some reason you are, then, yeah, this might be the game for you. And Ed, the other thing you talked about was killing companions, which, based on the earlier conversation about the morals within the game, is an interesting one.
Well, a lot of people, I'm not sure whether they're joking or not on the forums. They seem to think that, you know, you're going to have everybody running around with one particular companion, and it's all going to be the same. And, you know, you're going to have every trooper running around with the same companion. You're going to have every Jedi Knight running around with the same companion. So they want to be able to kill off their companions and get something generic or something else. Or I'm not entirely sure about that. But my thought is that the companions in BioWare games, the NPC companions in BioWare games, are one of the things that makes the game so good. Why the hell would you want to kill him off?
Because you're a sicko.
Oh, maybe.
I think, didn't they say recently that you're going to be able to customize them to a point? Like, for, I think they used the Twi'lek Sith Warrior companion, that you're going to be able to change the color of her skin and things like that. So you do have a bit of customization, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know whether these people are just, you know, messing with us or trolling or whatever the hell they're doing, but it really bothered me when these guys said this, because I'm like, I mean, these are the people that your avatar is supposed to be trusting with you know, your life, and you're just going to kill them off. I know that Sith are evil. You know, anyone who says otherwise is working for them. But even one of the interesting things I wrote a while back is that Sith value efficiency more than anything else. And if you have to retrain your subordinates every day, you know, you kill off a subordinate because he irritated you, or you didn't like the color of his skin, or she looked at you the wrong way, or it did something, then you have to train a new one. And, or, you know, customize a new one. And, you know, that's not efficient.
No, you're right.
Yes, they're evil, but they're not. It's about efficiency above all else.
And it blows out your training budget.
That too.
No, I agree. I think it's just not an obvious thing that you want, feature you want to have in the game. I just don't see the point. You know, I'd more interest in the ability to, you know, embarrass and humiliate your real life companions that you're playing the game with. So, I mean, in WoW, I have a long-standing love of getting one particular friend, High Graham, to, you know, when we were leveling up, getting him to stand near a cliff and using one of my abilities to make him fall off the cliff and die. That's the stuff that's gold, not killing your companion.
True.
Wouldn't you agree, Mark? Come on, you're a WoW boy. I love nothing better than, you know, using Blast Wave as a mage and knocking someone off, because, you know, challenging them to a duel so that you're in combat with them, and then knocking them off a cliff. It's great slapstick humour.
Oh, yeah, one of my favourite ones was, you know, with a priest, duel somebody while you're waiting for one of the boats, mind control them and then throw them in the water so they miss the boat.
See? It doesn't get... That's the goal. So I think, yeah, people that talk about humiliating or killing their companions need to maybe go and see a psychologist, and the rest of us can just have some fun.
Yeah, yeah, I think one of the things as well from BioWare's point of view is, you know, they're investing a lot in the stories of each class, which is obviously going to involve your companions as well. And I suppose they've got to look at it that in the future as well, when they're taking out expansions, that probably your companion stories are going to evolve as well. You won't be able to do that if you've killed them off.
That's true. And I will also make a prediction that within 18 months of Star Wars The Old Republic's launch, some idiot will have a publicity campaign claiming that they want to marry their companion.
Oh, give it 2 days.
Yeah, I think 18 months has been a bit generous.
Give it 2 days, man.
And I'm confident enough to say that at least 2 out of 3 of the people co-hosting this podcast wouldn't do that, but I'm not so sure about the third.
Well.
No, you're assuming it's you, Ed. I may not have met you. I could have met myself. All right, so that good points. And then the last thing we're going to talk about was... what? I've forgotten. Jump in.
Respects?
Well, yeah, what was it? There was something...
Respects. Respects.
Respecting
your advanced class.
Okay. So the thing that I've remembered the whole time was respecting your advanced class. So what are our thoughts on that? I mean, I'm a bit spoiled again talking about WoW. I like the way it's relatively easy to respec now, and you can have a dual spec as well. I actually have zero idea how this is going to work in Star Wars The Old Republic, so I shut up now and throw to you two guys.
Right. Can I go on this one?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, it's my understanding that they were going to have it so that you couldn't respec at all. One of the things they were going for was that your decisions in game were going to be long lasting. So that's why they didn't want respecing. But I think due to demand in the betas and whatnot, that they thought, well, it might be a bit unfair to have people go see a Juggernaut on their Sith Warrior when actually they might really want to play a DPS class when they realise that Juggernaut just isn't doing as much DPS as they would like, or whatever class they're playing. So I think basically what they're saying is at the lower levels, you will be able to respec your advanced classes, but possibly at the later levels, you're not going to be able to. So I think there's going to be a cutoff point by the sounds of things where you get to a certain level and you're just no longer going to be able to respec.
It'll be interesting to see the reaction to that. I think there'll be a fair bit of pushback from not people that are playing an MMO for the first time, but more experienced MMO people.
Yeah. The thing, maybe I'm just weird, but, well, of course I'm weird. Where am I talking from? I've only played a few MMOs. I played Star Wars Galaxies. I played City of Heroes, Tabula Rasa, a couple of others. I rarely respect my character. I played my character, I built my character the way I wanted to build my character. I put a great deal of thought into how I was building my character. And then I went with the character as it was. It didn't seem, I don't know. It didn't really seem right to just, okay, I don't like the way I am now, so I'm going to go to this guy and pay through the nose, and all of a sudden, I have all of my points and everything. I can, respec. But I can see the appeal. I can.
Well, I think you're an organized sort of guy. So, yeah, for the people that do the research into the specs and know what they want from the get-go, you're right, the respec option's not a big one. But, for people like me that are hard-pushed to remember to wear pants to work, you don't do the research and then you go, well, actually, I don't like this anymore, I want to change. They're the sort of people that the respec is really good for.
Do you normally respec your characters, Mark?
It really depends. I think in this game, the characters are going to be so diverse. When you look at some of the characters, some are going to be able to tank, DPS, and heal, depending on what spec they are. So I think for those kind of characters, most of the people that play them are probably going to want to respec when they can. Because I know, like in World of Warcraft, obviously you've got druids and whatnot that basically they're the same thing. They can tank, DPS, or heal. They can only do that if they can respec. The only other thing that springs to mind is the first Old Republic game. Didn't your main character get a major respec without giving too much away?
Yes and no, if that makes any sense whatsoever. You didn't respec. You didn't lose anything. You added a new class.
I'm talking about the storyline, though. I don't mean like how you start as a soldier and whatnot, and then later on you unlock the Jedi things. I'm talking about the actual character himself was. Well, I don't really want to give too much away.
Do you know what I mean? No spoilers. No spoilers. Sorry, exactly. I was thinking game wise, not story wise. That was a fairly broad-based respec, wasn't it?
So which game was that?
Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah. Which I've been playing again recently.
Yeah, so have I.
Yeah. It's on Steam for I think, $9.99 or something, so well worth it for anybody that hasn't played it.
Yeah, I've got nothing of value to add whatsoever, but I think the respec, I can just see there's going to be pushback, but only from a proportion of people and most people. And you're right, Mark, if the story is really engaging and because there's a lot more utility in the classes, the ability to do different things, it may be, you don't need to do it as much. But for the WoW heads and other defectors from other MMOs, I still think they'll be a bit edgy about it. So unless you guys have anything, I have one more thing I want to add, but is there anything else from you guys before we wrap it up?
I was curious. We had something on the forums about loot containers. I have not seen this. I'm not sure where this came from, but it sounds pretty cool. Because one of the things I remember from WoW in particular for the week that I played WoW before I got fed up with it, and I will not rant I will not rant. I will not rant. One of the problems with the high-level loot was that, you know, there was only one piece. You know, you kill the final boss in an instance, in a dungeon, and there's only one piece of loot. You roll for it, and that's fair. Provided, of course, people don't find a way to hack the rolls, which apparently somebody did a while back. But there's only one piece. This sounds better in that each player will get an individual container that has a piece of loot or a commendation or something. What do you guys think of that?
I'll jump in first. I hate it because although it can be really frustrating to, you know, down a boss and only, potentially not have loot that you can roll for at all, but if you do, taking the risk that, you know, you're one of five or six people wanting it, that's also part of the fun in that if you actually score it, you feel like it's a real achievement, whereas I'm assuming with this that they're saying you won't necessarily always get the loot, but at least you know there'll be a class-specific piece that you can roll on. Then I go, oh, okay, that's all right. If it's every time you down a damn boss, you've got an option to actually get something significant, then I think that just becomes a, you know, rinse and repeat cycle that gets really boring really quickly.
Would it be something significant or would it just be something?
Yeah, that's something's the, okay, but I mean, using WoW's example again, you always get, well, no, it's not true. You don't always get something, but when you're clearing trash, you still pick up stuff on the way up to the boss, and then, you know, depending on the boss, you do. You get your emblems or whatever for downing bosses in, you know, usually the latest, well, all the dungeons and raids. So, yeah, if they're replicating that, that's fine.
I think I've got a theory on why they might be going through this. This decision on having a container where you get something that's specific to you. One of the things I did hear from a friend that was in the beta that was annoying him when he first started in the beta was he was running the dungeons for all intents and purposes. The loot was dropping and people were actually need rolling on the loot, not for themselves but for their companions, because obviously you upgrade the gear on your companions as well. So I suppose it'd be kind of frustrating if you had just run an instance and the chess piece that you've been wanting to get for the last couple of months or whatever finally drops and somebody rolls in it for their companions. And I think that maybe is why they've implemented this, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, I'd argue a better way would be to have companion and you know, player loot so that there's one of each. But, yeah, that's a good point.
I have no idea. I mean, I haven't played an MMO since, yeah, you're going to laugh, since Tabula Rasa. Go ahead, laugh.
I actually played that. Played it on the beta, and it didn't really last long, that one, did it?
No, I actually enjoyed it. I played it in the beta. I enjoyed it. It's funny. One of my characters was actually in the strategy guide for it. They needed somebody to model some of the animations for the sniper class, and I managed to get into that. You know, it had issues. It had a number of issues. They were fixing them. And then the parent company of it decided they didn't want to do it anymore, and click, it was gone.
And that's one thing with Star Wars The Old Republic that you would think is not going to happen in the near future, and that they've got the backing to make sure it works over a longer period of time. So that's one encouragement. Well, put it this way, if they don't bloody roll it out beyond the what's now called the green zone and the red, to us red zoners, then, you know, there's going to be riots on the street. So let's wrap it up there. Oh, Mark,
I need to say one more thing.
Yep.
They have finally decided that Canada is in North America.
Yeah, I saw that as far as that they've rolled out a bunch of beta invites to Canada. Probably now because you're the richer neighbour now that you've still got a AAA rating. Well, I'm assuming you do.
Let's not get politics involved in this or we'll be here all day.
So, no, you're right. Canadians are getting some love, and I believe some more Europeans have been getting some invites as well. But the half of Europe that is involved with the pre-order, that are able to pre-order locally.
EA needs to get a map.
Yeah,
EA
I know.
Really needs to invest in a map.
So, yeah, that's the only thing. Well, Mark, did you have anything before I go on with my stuff?
No, not really. Not this week, no.
All right, cool. So Mark's going to be doing some amazing stuff in a fortnight. I can't reveal it yet, but it will involve singing and or dancing.
Yeah.
So for me, I've just got a totally non-Star Wars The Old Republic recommendation, and we do a few of these over the time. If you go to YouTube, because it's not on TV in Australia at the moment, and it's a BBC production, if you go on to YouTube and Google either in inverted commas, Big Babies, or in inverted commas, The Gonch, G-O-N-C-H. Watch some of the YouTube videos of that and then discuss them on the forums. I'd argue it's one of the best shows, TV shows ever created. So there you go. Totally bizarre reference for you to go away and do some homework on.
Actually, I did find something that might be of interest this week was... basically, the Old Republic version of Thoughtbot or Wowhead. It's a database site that's going to be set up. So they're currently adding things at the moment.
By BioWare or a third party?
Sorry?
By BioWare or a third party?
Oh, sorry. No, it's a third party. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting how BioWare and Electronic Arts deal with them. I mean, Blizzard have had a fairly... Well, they've had... you know, a turbulent relationship with some of those sites, but it's worked fairly well. My guess is that Electronic Arts in particular, I think, are going to be a tougher nut to crack as far as being happy for the data to sit on third-party websites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everyone. So please go and do your YouTube homework. As always, please don't hesitate to email us on contact@toros.com.au, on the forums at toros.com.au/forum. And those forums are actually getting a little bit busy since all the pre-order fiasco, so that's good. We're on Twitter at SWTOROZ. Ed, Mark and I are all on Google+, and you can find our full names on the site under the About page. And we're on Facebook as Toros as well, and we've got a few more fans there as well. So again, thanks for joining us. See you for episode 14 in a fortnight, if not before.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.